The last number of misses. This is last. And this is current number of misses.
Yeah.
And each time I access a page here, I put this here.
Yeah.
And I update with the new current number of misses. And then...
Okay, that's what you mean by miss, that tuple.
Yeah, that tuple. And here I have misses.
Yeah.
So, what do I do? Imagine that I have this page in the history. I re-access it. And then what happens is that I say, like, okay, let's compare. Let's compare the number of the current number of misses. So current misses.
This one.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I do that for me. Exactly that for me. I calculate.
Yeah.
Let's call it delta MA.
Delta
MA. Yeah. Delta MA for the access, and I calculate delta M victim.
Aren't you calculating H of delta M victim?
Well, yeah. H of delta M victim. Which is this.
Yes.
This. And I compare them, and if this is bigger than this one, then I make another picture.
Correct.
And that's it. That's what I do.
That's which algorithm you?
Miss. The one that has dash miss.
The one that has dash miss. Where did I lose it? Here.
Dash miss.
This one.
Mm-hmm.
And what about this one? Or arc dash miss?
Arc. Well, it's just regular arc that makes the lookup only in the cache.
Oh, okay. Lookup all. Okay. So we said that one of these is, we probably, at some point, we want to discard it, right?
Yeah, the lookup all.
Probably.
Yes.
That's
probably
the one which is doing worse.
Yeah, but I haven't discarded anything
yet. Okay, that's good.
Just in case. Because we're still making, you know, modifications to the,
algorithm.
Algorithm, so it may work better. I don't know.
And what is hit rate?
So hit rate is a new thing that I did based on some idea that occurred to me while I was talking to Steven later on.
Okay.
Of our meeting. And it is that instead of having here and here, the elements in here are hit rates.
Okay.
The hit rate when I access this. And each of these elements in the cache has the, each time I access it, I store the hit rate for the page.
I don't know what you mean by rate. You mean number of hits?
So it's number of hits over number of accesses.
Since the previous time or since forever?
Since forever. Because these are the total number of hits of the whole execution, number of accesses. This is the final hit rate.
Okay.
And then I compare when I access the this page again. I have a current hit rate.
So you don't actually mean hit rate, you mean access rate.
Because why access rate?
Because the stuff in the history are not hits.
It's hit rate, right? It's number of hits over number of accesses.
For that specific item.
For that, when I access that specific item the last time.
Hits okay, so this is cache-wide hit rate.
Yeah, yes, cache-wide.
Not specific to that item. Not hit rate of the item.
No. Of the whole.
Okay.
So the whole point is, so the idea that I had is that, and Steven had an idea for his thing as well, but I said, like, okay, maybe if I use something along those lines, it will improve. Is that when you have a hit rate of this history, and you have a hit when you access this one, and you have a hit rate when you access this one, and then you have a hit rate, the current hit rate when you re-access this one. So you will see that if this hit rate is better than this one and is better than the current one when you re-access this page, then it means that things are getting worse. If this is bigger than this one and the current one. I mean, imagining that this was access first and then this second. And then,
Again. But you don't know which one was access.
I store the access number here. Okay. So I know, I store the access number. So I know who.
Okay.
So I know who was access first, so I can make the comparison for
them. Okay.
And then I compare the three of them, and if it's getting worse, then I make the eviction. And
what if it's going up and then coming down?
I don't.
Because you don't what?
I don't make an eviction.
Okay, because you don't know which way it's going?
Exactly. I don't know the tendency, but if it's going down, if it's going down, then I make the...
No idea which
one. Yes. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I had the idea that maybe that's not the best comparison.
That's an interesting direction. I mean, that's in, if the hit rate is stable, then we don't want to make evictions. The hit rate is getting worse, then we want to make an eviction.
Yeah, maybe I can make it more robust in the sense that, okay, if the overall hit rate make a change by a percentage, but that will make it more complicated, right?
What if there are some items in the... Actually, no. But this is a very interesting direction, actually. I don't think it has ever been explored before, this sort of... I mean, even the miss rate, I think that wasn't explored before, but the miss... But this is interesting. You're looking at history of it. I'm wondering if... Let's see, looking at the hit rate of the item, and that could have been way, you know, the victim could have been accessed well into the past. So it could be a really, really old hit rate that you're looking at, right?
Yes.
And then something in the history could be more recent. None Is that what we expect? That the items in the history are going to be more recent than the items in the cache?
Well, when you access them, then you update them, right?
Yeah.
Every time I access this one, I update it. And I update it inside the...
Oh, I see. And then you're looking at the... You're sorting by access number. You're sorting...
Yes, I'm making the comparison by access number. If this is smaller than this one, and smaller than this one.
Mm. Very interesting. Very interesting.
But it's so not what... working really well. So I don't know.
What it seems like you would certainly reduce the evictions.
Oh, I do. I mean, that's without any doubt that I reduce the evictions. But
okay, so now let's look at hits.
But so far, I think that the best behavior is my modification on top of ARC, the original one on top of ARC, because this one. The percentage in the end, the percentage of not improvement is...
Are you looking at
R-ARC?
R-ARC. Look up R-ARC.
R-ARC, the regular one, yeah.
Okay.
This is just the original algorithm with ARC.
I see. And this is with a certain cache size, right? 1 gigabyte.
Yeah, but if you go through all of them, there's even, I think it's 256 megabytes or something like that, that improves the ARC for a certain cache size. That's 8 gigabytes.
Does R-ARC do better than all the other modifications for all the cache sizes? So far, it seems like
that's my belief. Yeah, and that's from what I saw, but maybe I'm wrong. You see, in this case, ARC is better by 8% than because we have these special cases, right? But we also have these special cases going down too. So.
I guess the other question I have is that for each workload, is there a cache size where R-ARC does well. So here for 512 also it does slightly better than...
Yeah, when you increase the size of the cache...
You mean decrease.
If you increase the size of... Yeah.
Oh, but here I don't have... Oh, because these are misses, normalized misses.
Yeah. I didn't do it for the misses because...
Yeah. So it seems like for 512 and 256, there is improvement. And with 128, it gets a little worse.
Yeah. But not much worse. I mean, compared to the number of evictions that we're that we're improving, I think that we have a good thing. Mm. So the next thing is that today I'm defining the
cost model.
The cost model. I'm defining it and write it down, and once I have it written down, I'll send it to you and I'll start implementing it. So I can make a graph like this, but just with the cost. The final piece.
Which is latency, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is interesting. For us to have a sure shot at getting the work published, we need to have some real experiments because we do not, in this case, we are not improving hits in some of the sizes. We are actually, the hits are worse, right?
Okay.
So, I guess the question is, what can we do in terms of...
So, what's a real experiment? Like, implemented it in the kernel, you mean?
Ideally, yes. Ideally, implementing it in the kernel and running real workloads against it. That would be the ideal case scenario. Because right now, the idea of selling the churning and that affecting the hit rate is not as appealing as I thought it would be. Because, I mean, we are not showing any improvements.
Because we're still not solving the churning. I think that we still...
Or either that we are not solving the churning, or alternatively the churning is not that important. That's another possibility.
Because
it's not happening as much.
Hmm.
That's another possibility. And then if the churning is not that much, there is not so much stability, because stability is the one that causes the churning. And because there is not as much stability, we cannot benefit from, in terms of hit rate, by turning the cache off. And the benefit, even if it's there, it would be only for cache sizes where the cache size is not able to contain the working set. So one of the things that we need to look at is, for each of these workloads, what is the working set? And the simplistic view is to look at all the data that have been accessed over the duration of the trace, and then call that the working set, and for cache sizes that are smaller than that. So, I'm still thinking about how to sell this. If we sell it as a... So the new algorithm that has the potential to improve latency, that means overall performance, then the cost model will certainly help with that, but it is not going to be as convincing as having an actual implementation with real workloads running against it. You understand what I'm trying to say?
So, okay, but I mean, isn't that arguable in the sense that we, for example, I can design an algorithm that have a better performance than Arc.
Mm-hmm.
But arc makes the decisions way faster.
Faster?
Faster in the sense that for arc to know which what to do when a page is accessed is way faster than my algorithm.
But if the total time to make that decision is so small relative to the time to access the device, it doesn't matter if you're doing that fast or small or slow.
Mm.
Right. So the question is, how many comparisons are we making in our algorithm?
Mm.
Right. I think we're making maybe 2 or 3 times as much comparisons. And these are all CPU comparisons, which are going to be really fast relative to the time of accessing the cache.
Mm.
Then I don't think it really matters.
Mm.
One concern might be, valid concern might be, how much additional metadata we need for our algorithm relative to work. Are we using more? And if so, how much more? And is that acceptable? I don't think the CPU overhead is going to be a significant problem. But the memory overhead, we need to justify that it is okay. And usually the way to justify it is to say, first of all, the relative to the memory overhead of ARC, our memory overhead is 1.5 or 2x. That may be okay. If the amount of memory overhead for ARC is small, really small, increasing it by a factor of 1.5 or 2 or even 4 may not be a big deal.
Hmm. So yeah, the metadata that we use is twice the one that the ARC is using, right? If we do it on top of ARC.
Yeah.
If we do it with LRU, LRU uses the same amount of metadata than ARC.
As our algorithm?
Our algorithm right now, the original one, uses the same amount of LRU with that.
But I thought we use history, right?
Yeah, the size of the history is the size of the cache.
So we would use twice the amount of metadata as LRU. The
as LRU.
And with ARC, we use
twice.
Maybe twice as well. I don't. We have to do the calculations correctly.
Yeah. When you fill the cache, when you fill ARC up, the metadata, the two lists will be full.
Yeah.
So they will be the size of the cache. The size of the two lists.
Yeah.
Because the size of the T1 plus V1 has to be N or lesser than N.
Hmm.
So that's one. We can look at it. I think it's twice. Hmm. Okay. So we need to implement it. We need to make these experiments in the kernel and get the latency.
Ideally, yes. Mm. But I know that you don't have much experience with the kernel.
No.
Did you program inside the kernel for any of my courses?
I
wrote a module.
Yeah, like a basic module that probed. Okay, probing.
Mm. I'll also write to Ricardo to see if he has time. Kohler, to see if he has time to to even guide you, maybe.
Okay.
The other thing I wonder about is relative to the number of additional misses we have, how many evictions are we saving?
Well, we have here we have for. Let's say our arc in the worst case is like 5% or 6%. We can look at the worst case.
No, I'm not no longer talking about percentage. I'm thinking about actual number.
Hmm.
Because every eviction we save, we get a latency benefit from that.
Hmm.
Every additional miss we have, we lose some latency benefit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how many additional misses we have relative to how many evictions we save.
Mm.
You see?
Like actual number.
Actual number, yeah.
I can do that. I can graph them. So a miss will have. So
You will have to look into all of those things as you construct the latency model. Because in your latency model, you see number of misses times that sort of stuff.
Exactly. So, if I have, well, an eviction is costly depending if it's 30 or not. So an eviction is costly if it's the most.
We are also saving the, like I said, there's a population cost which occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Each time you have an eviction,
yes.
Whether the evicted item is dirty or not,
yes,
you still need to write to the
cash. And that's the number of evictions times that cost.
Right.
But a miss can also have a miss has a cost, and a dirty eviction has an additional cost, which is accessing the network and writing it back
to storage.
To storage,
which is very expensive.
Which is just as expensive as a miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a miss, what it does is it writes down on the cache, but it first needs to get it
from the network storage and then write it to the cache.
So that's the same cost as a dirty eviction.
Yeah.
Right.
The dirty eviction includes a miss as well, right? You would only do dirty eviction when you have a miss.
Mm-hmm.
So a dirty eviction.
So a miss will be the cost. So
cost
we need to add everything just once. So it's writing it down on the cache. So the cost
of and the cost of write to the cache is much higher than the cost of reading from the cache.
Exactly. So hits, it will be hits times the cost of reading from the cache,
mm-hmm.
plus misses times the cost of writing in the cache.
First of all, reading from the disk.
Plus from reading from the disk.
No. First of all, reading from the disk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the first thing that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, and then the next thing would be evicting from the cache, potentially, if it's dirty,
mm-hmm.
to make space before you can write it into the cache.
Mm-hmm. So to make the only evictions that are costly in the sense that it's an eviction is dirty ones, because they are the only ones that you write back through the network. And the evictions that are not dirty, you just throw them away.
Yeah, but you still need to populate the cache, whereas in our algorithm, we don't even spend time populating the cache.
What do you mean with them?
If the cache is off,
mm-hmm.
say we don't do the eviction, we don't even populate the cache.
All right.
On a miss. We don't write to the cache.
Ah, okay, so you need to... Yeah. That's true. I need to...
So, yeah. Once you have the model, then we can review it carefully. Okay.
Yeah, I can review it. And I need to add this new statistic, which is a mess that I'm in, which I'm not populating from the cache.
Right. And in the meanwhile, if you can look at Ricardo's module that is already in the... But that's in the other project. Do you have access to that? The AWO?
No.
Okay, wait, let me give you access to that. Where is it?
So what did he do there? With the module, he executed the kernel, right? Like the cache algorithms inside the kernel, right?
Just adding you as a guest so you can see what's going on. Yeah?
Okay.
So let me go to that project, files, code. Oh, no, that's the wrong project. Shit. That's not the project. Wait. How do I remove a team member?
No, you need to edit project. Where you'll find me there? No. Members? On the left side?
Oh. No, that's okay. I can. What I'm looking for is server assistant. Are you using Internet Explorer or Chrome? Uh-huh. I don't know why it didn't show up here. Server SSD. Let me make sure that's the right place. Module, yes. Okay. Module, journal, IODEP, intersect, workers, indirection. Yeah, this is the right one. So, go here. And members. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Let me make it just in case. All right. So. Yeah, you can review the module is right here. And then there are two components to this. One is the module, which is probably good enough. That's all we need. We don't need the iSCSI target, which we used in the other paper. Yeah. But you will still need to set up an iSCSI target. Would you? Yes, you would. Yeah. So Leo knows about some of the details here, so you can certainly, and he's also, he was involved in this project.
Okay.
And I would get in touch with Kohler and find out if he has some time, because I know that he's really busy.
Moving,
yeah. I don't know if he's already started moving yet, or he's still wrapping up at VMware. The last time I checked with him, he was still wrapping up.
Renera went to his interview over, when they interview them, they make like a presentation over Almaden or things like
that. Almaden?
You told me he was going to Almaden, right? Oh, not to New York.
He went to TJ Watson. Could you attend his talk?
No, I attended a Luis one.
Yeah.
Because he went to Almaden, and then Kohler went to New York. No.
Yeah. So you attended Lewis's interview talk?
Yes.
Oh.
I attended everyone's interview talk.
That's good.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, they had like presentations weekly, like an hour, just like here. They invited some professor or someone to talk in IBM about a project. It was interesting, just like every Friday talk and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, okay. Good.
So yeah, that's my progress. I'm gonna do that.
So first of all, I would recommend that you talk to Leo about this module, about the write caching project, write caching policies, and it might be worth reading that paper as well.
Okay.
All right. Do you know which paper I'm talking about? It's that was published in FAST last year.
And it's referenced in our paper, in our write policies paper.
It is? Yeah.
You told me to read it before, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So
FAST last year, Ricardo Kohler.
That's the one. So, I think, if we can get this to work and we show reasonably good results, then I think our entry into FAST is going to be much easier. Otherwise, we might end up a few reviewing cycles if we don't do this. That's my concern.
Okay.
But it's also not easy for you as a beginning. But this might be a good project for you to get started in that kind of work. Because at some point, you would probably end up doing it anyway. And kernel development.
Mm.
The good thing about this project is that there is a big code base already there, and you have to modify it, as opposed to you having to create stuff.
Almost all everything is implemented, right? So
only the caching algorithm needs to be changed.
Yeah. And not even, I need to add a new one that uses the ones that already exist.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, and I have the code in Python, so I can probably make the same structures.
The first thing to do would be to actually set it up and use the existing software.
To run the experiments just for Arc and LIU.
Even before you try to modify anything, you have to be able to set things up and be able to execute some benchmark. And that it should work. So, because there is a little bit of plumbing involved. There is an iSCSI client and an iSCSI server that you need to set up besides this module, which, from what I recall, has some stability problems as well. It's not as, it was not stable at some point. And I know Ricardo made improvements and then it became more stable, but I don't know what the current state of it is.
Oh, I remember Leo working on this. He had a hard time. Okay. I remember this.
Hmm.
So he was working on on this project last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to Leo about that.
And we should probably, at some point maybe bring in Leo as a consulting member for this project.
Just for the meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So is there anything else or...
I think that's about it. So, if you can spend some time looking at this code, we have exactly 1 month. So, we don't have a whole lot of time. So, what will we do along these lines? If it doesn't happen, let's say in the next week or 2 weeks at most, then it's probably not going to happen for fast.
Okay.
So, I think the cost model by itself, we can try and sell it, and we should probably develop it anyway.
We should do it anyway, right?
Like for traces, for instance. I mean, with this module, we could do trace replay, but the trace replay is going to be...
I think you can do trace replay on the kernel with a file bench or something like that, right?
No, I'm thinking of replaying some of the traces we have in our lab.
Okay, like the FIU traces.
Yeah. But I remember there was some issue with doing it that way. And that's why we ran benchmarks eventually for the right policies paper.
Mm-hmm. What type of benchmarks? Like SPECSFS or something like that?
We ran Postmark, I think. Let's see what benchmarks we have. TPCC. And the TPCC benchmark, which is a database benchmark.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. And, but then we ran some other things also. Workloads. Postmark, file bench, file server, TPCC, and YCSB.
Wow.
So we ran all those benchmarks.
You run a lot of stuff. Which one is YCSB?
These are YCSB personalities, A, B, and F.
Oh, okay.
This is Postmark and this is FileBench. These are all the... Ideally, we should run some of them.
Okay. Yeah. So, there was this one last idea that I had.
Okay. This one seems good. Actually, I wanted to see one thing, which is... let's say 256 megabyte. 256 megabyte. See, all of these guys do better than Orc in 256 megabyte. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then hit rate does better than miss rate. Miss. At least for this guy. I was curious whether hit rate does better or miss does better. You see, in this case, actually miss does better than hit. So it's not clear. Right? Did you see that?
Yes, miss does better than hit rate. Yeah. In this case as well.
Well, not really. Because LRU miss does worse than LRU hit.
Yeah. Upper arc does better. Our arc miss does better too.
Our arc miss does better, but our arc hit. Our LRU hit does better than our LRU miss. Right?
Yes. And here this one does better than...
There is no clear winner between the hit and miss, I guess.
That's what we can conclude.
And maybe comparing just the three of them in a row is not enough. Maybe it will be like a percentage of change.
Why is it that our arc does better? Do we expect that? What does our arc do?
Arc?
Our arc. Our arc.
Our arc. Well, I mean,
it just looks at the history, and if it is there in the history, it does the eviction.
Yes.
Very simple.
Yes.
Doesn't look at miss or hit or any of that.
No.
Mm-hmm. So it's like an additional history.
Mm-hmm. But it's a different history. So
it's a history where you get in once, and the second time you're accessed while you're in the list, you get into the cache. So it doesn't prevent churning. It prevents churning only when the frequency of access is 1.
Yes, exactly.
So it sort of helps with streaming accesses.
Mm-hmm.
But then ARC already does that, right?
Yeah, but ARC fills the cache and we only use metadata. That's the big difference. So ARC already does that, right? But he populates actual data
in the cache.
So there
is a population cost.
Yeah, there's a population cost. And then you are potentially missing on things that you wouldn't, because you're populating the cache and you're consuming space that you can use for other pages that are more important.
But my sense is that ARC is going to use very little of the cache for the streaming access.
Possibly.
So if there's a stream, if there's just accesses that are accessed exactly once, they will keep replacing each other.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. It all depends, right? It all depends. Because if you have, for example, one page that you access and then a bunch of streaming, and then the same page and then a bunch of streaming, maybe you are getting rid of this one because you have a bunch of streaming in the middle, but you can potentially use it, right? And if you do this with different sets of pages, then if you do this streaming periodically and you repeat pages like that, then ARC will never bring pages to T2.
Could you repeat that again? I didn't quite get it.
So you have a set of pages, and then you have this access. And then you have the same access here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that this is the size of the cache.
Yeah.
And then you have a problem, because every time you do this periodically, let's say that the same accesses are done every time.
Yeah.
So then you don't populate T2. Because you fill T1 here until you reach this point.
But
and then you access a different thing.
Wouldn't this be in B1?
Hmm.
because there is a ghost list for ARC, and maybe that's why ARC does better than LRU, because it has additional metadata.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Whereas in our case, we had even more metadata than ARC.
Yeah.
So the problem could occur if we have the, you know, it's twice the amount of cache size. But that is a very special case, and I think ARC has shown that with the additional metadata that is twice the amount of the cache size, with metadata that is twice the amount of cache size, you can do much better than LRU. And I think our challenge is to show that, it's not just to show that with additional metadata we can do better than ARC, but to actually show why it's fundamentally important to have additional metadata, even more additional metadata, without which you cannot make certain kinds of decisions. And this is independent of the cache replacement algorithm. I think that will be the selling point for us, to show that take any cache replacement algorithm and keep this extra metadata, and if you have it, then you can do better in terms of evictions. And I think that's what we're getting so far, is that we're doing better in terms of evictions.
And that evictions have this added cost in this particular setup.
Right. But I was kind of hoping that some of these modifications will help us with the hit rate.
The thing is that it's not improving. I mean, it's not even improving a little bit. That's the one thing. They're not really improving over the ARC.
Yeah. So they're doing better than ARC in some cases, but ARC is consistently outperforming every other optimization or variant that we created.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And these are lots of workloads.
How about the SSD part? I mean, SSDs are widely used now in this system, so if we keep them, if we avoid evictions, we're also keeping the device alive. Right? I mean, if we avoid making updates to it.
Yeah.
So that's
endurance.
We have more endurance, and we only decrease the performance by a little bit, but we improve the overall latency and we show it.
Sure.
So I think that's compelling, and given that it's popular.
Yeah.
And we can compare ourselves. The other thing is that maybe we should, I mean, we cannot compare ourselves directly, but other papers that have published results for avoiding population of the cache or things like that has shown much worse results that we have. So we're improving over them, and we are not being worse than what.
Yeah, I think that is going to be another key point in the paper, is that there are other works that have shown that you need to be aware of how many writes you do, but then they have a significant impact on performance. Whereas I think it would be important to look at those papers and look at what workloads they run and try to recreate it with the same workloads and show that we do better.
Good.
Yeah, so can we implement some of those algorithms? I think there was one which is called Clean First LRU, right? Did you look at that? The CF LRU?
Clean First LRU. No, but I'll look.
I think clean first LRU is very simple, that you evict the clean item first before you evict the dirty item. But then that was a slightly different tiering model. So you had DRAM cache and SSD as storage. Then if clean first LRU makes sense. But we need to look at what other algorithms exist, which reduce the amount of writes to a flash cache, not DRAM cache, right? In flash CPUs, that's a cache. Okay.
Good. So.
So, what is your plan? Your plan is to.
So I should. Okay. So I think it's best if we make our decision on what are we. I mean, if we're going to attack the kernel thing, then we should just. I mean, in my opinion, so far, we should attack the. We should attack the.
Postmodern.
The regular algorithm that we have, the original,
in
the module. So we should implement or set up the module, set up the environment, test the...
Yeah, we need to motivate that algorithm, by the way, very, very clearly, right? Why do that algorithm? I think our motivation with the churning, I don't know if it still works. So that's one thing I would encourage you to think about, how to motivate that algorithm. And look at the one-page thing I sent you, and maybe you can write a few bullet points as to how we can motivate that algorithm much more clearly, right? That's one thing. With the R-arc. For the other algorithm, other variants we looked at, I think the motivation is a little clearer. Whereas this algorithm, we need to really think about how to motivate it. One thing is that one motivation I can think of is that if you have the flexibility not to populate the cache and the item is not important enough, yet you don't know whether the item is important enough, you need to have information about it somewhere to determine if it becomes important later on, so that you can bring it into the cache, right? So that's the motivation to have that additional list of items. So I want you to think more about it. I want you to think about the motivation for R-arc.
Okay.
And make maybe two or three bullet points as to what you think are the key reasons to investigate our art. Right, so that's one thing. Second is the cost model, which I think we need to develop anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think for our own benefit and understanding.
Many papers use the traces. I mean, this Cambridge traces and the FIU ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, still, I think it's beneficial for us to good results of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, the module. So I see these as the three items on your plate right now.
Okay.
Is to understand the module, get it set up and make it work. And if it doesn't work, it's possible that it doesn't work right away because Ricardo has a more up-to-date version and he forgot to
update,
commit the last version. It's possible. So we need to first check if and make that move that along.
Okay. Well, maybe we can just send an email today to Ricardo and see.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll write an email to him and also include you.
Awesome.
And Leo.
Awesome. And I'll talk to Leo right now and ask him.
Okay.
If he can, you know, orient me.
Yeah, and if he has any information about whether there were any changes or if the one in the Git repository is the one that we finally used for the paper, the experiment.
Right. Awesome. Okay, I'll go talk to him. And, yeah, I think I'll have the module. As soon as I have the module, I'll send it to you so you can read it as well. Or I'll just put it in the paper right away.
Okay.
And that way you can modify it and it can be paperly, like, instead of just a draft.
Sounds good.